On today's episode of the Locked On Eagles podcast, we're talking about if the Eagles could really be a top five team in the NFC, as the Locked On NFL podcast had mentioned yesterday, as well as the updated practice squad rules and how it might affect the Philadelphia Eagles, and taking a look at how Jalen Hurts is stacked up against some of the teams he's going to play in 2022. All that and more coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome on in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, the fourth episode of five this week. Thank you for making it your first listen each and every day and tuning in to the Locked On Eagles podcast five times a week, the only show out there that's providing you daily content from the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm your host, as always, Gino Camilleri, joining you here on this Thursday edition of the show. As I mentioned on the intro, I want to get into a topic that the Locked On NFL Today podcast brought up. Are the Philadelphia Eagles potentially a top five team in the NFC, as well as looking at the opponents that Jalen Hurts has faced since starting for the Philadelphia Eagles back in 2020. But first, I want to talk about the latest news from the NFL. For some, it might not seem like big news, but for those who are interested in the bottom of the roster guys who look at those seventh round picks, those undrafted free agents, and how they make their way onto the roster, a lot of the times it comes through being on the practice squad and being able to be elevated to the game time roster. And the NFL updated their practice squad rules yesterday. An addendum came out saying that the practice squad will now consist of 16 players. That is what it has been the past couple years since the COVID protocols have gone into play. But there were some things that they restructured to this new and improved practice squad ruling. One thing that I found fascinating is that you can have up to 10 players that were free agents at one point and not guys that are in their first or second year, players like Jordan Howard. And why I find that interesting is because the Eagles, going back to last year and going back to 2020, when they were much more banged up than they were in 2021, they were able to utilize this COVID protocol and had the ability to sign these veterans to the roster. If you look back to 2019, when they made the playoffs, they did this to an extent with Josh McCown really being that first practice squad quarterback that they brought in. They really utilized him more as this quote-unquote COVID QB that could come in, stay outside of the building, and be a player that they bring in just in case. But now I'm looking at this practice squad structure and saying, how can we utilize it to get potentially 10 more roster-eligible players on the books without having to put them through waivers? You take the Jordan Howard approach. You look at what you did in 2021 with Jordan Howard, and I think you could go forward with that same type of approach going into this season. Utilize it to, one, get your back-end players that will be later-round draft picks, undrafted free agents, priority free agents, get them on the roster, and you have 16 spots. I would say ultimately 10 to 11 of them go towards these younger players on the books. But the other five or six spots that you have, do moves that you did like you did with Jordan Howard in 2022. You need to have roster eligible players, players that have snaps, players like Jimmy Moreland, for example. I think that's a perfect place for him to be if they can't get him minutes right away on the roster at the nickel position. You're still eligible to keep him on the roster. And another bonus fact that they put in there is that you can elevate any player up to three times throughout the season, where you can have multiple game day roster elevations from the new and improved practice squad ruling, as well as you could bring back 8 guys, 8 different players from injured reserve throughout the 2022 and beyond season. That's also huge. If you go back to the IR rules of a couple years ago, if you were placed on the IR, your season is over. Now, you can go onto the IR, and for 4 weeks, you would have to sit out, but 8 times, and it could be 8 unique players. It could be the same player multiple times throughout the year, but they have the benefit that they could sit out for 4 weeks at a minimum and then be activated back onto the roster. Having that ability, plus having more spots for veterans on the practice squad roster, it opens up the potential to have multiple players that could be almost like utility infielders. If you look at a utility infielder in baseball, they might not be an everyday guy, but they could come in and spot occurrences, go out and play multiple positions, and the positions you probably would get for these practice squad players would most likely be a wide receiver who could also play special teams, be a potential returner for you, would be a running back that could do a lot of the same thing. I would say a linebacker, a safety, and even a corner I would put into that free agent pool in the practice squad room. You need to have a lot of guys, and it takes more than 53 to win a Super Bowl. It takes more than 53 to make it through a season. It's probably closer to, I would say, 80 to 90 guys that are taking snaps for you at any given time. They might just play a single game. They might just play a single snap. But the fact is, you have to have them in front of you, see what they can do, and know how they can benefit you on game day. I think all of these rules that they have updated with the practice squad addendum will only do better by the NFL and the NFLPA by opening up more spots. Because what this does is that with these game day elevations, it could get these younger players enough accrued games to put them into the pool where they get benefits for life if they make it X amount of games. If they get those accrued games, when they retire, they will have all the backing of the NFL. They'll be covered by the NFL. And ultimately, I think it opens up for roster expansion in the next couple of years. If they can make the roster 60 players, I don't think that would hinder the performance, hinder the ability to get all of these guys on the field. You would believe that the practice squad would stay about the same. Just getting more guys on the active game day roster will only benefit all parties involved. You could keep fresher legs. You could keep guys from having to play multiple units and potentially getting injured. And you could also open it up for guys that might not have had a spot in the past, like a Jordan Howard, who probably wouldn't have been on the roster all season long if they didn't have that potential practice squad spot for him. He comes out there and he earns his way onto the roster. And that's how a lot of guys, especially younger guys who don't have snaps, cut their teeth and find a way to play onto the roster. They do it well in practice, which then transfers to the special teams room, which then transfers to the positional room, which then garners them plays on Sundays. And ultimately, you want more snaps, more film to benefit everybody involved. I think the new practice squad ruling will only be better for people that want to see improvement on the field each week, because you have to get guys film, you have to get them play, and being able to do it at an NFL caliber level is the only way that they're going to continue to get better, unless they go to another league, but then they're outside of your eyesight and they don't really do any good for you when it comes to Sundays. So hopefully the Eagles can utilize this practice squad ruling to their favor, utilize it in terms of IR, utilize it in terms of getting guys on the game day roster who might not have had a spot in previous years, protect your young guys, and get some free agents in there that might be cut down after training camps are over, but you could bring them in and utilize them in a way that you don't have to depend on just the 53 that you have. You have an expanded set that's closer to 60. And we'll continue to talk about this Philadelphia Eagles football team and how it pertains to 2022 coming up in segment 2 when I take a look at something that Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson brought up in terms of the Eagles being a potential top 5 team in the NFC. But before I do that, I have a message from our friends over at Built Bar. Folks, Built Bar has the originals, they have the puffs, and now they have granola. Granola, folks. Granola bar Built Bars. I eat granola bars like they're going out of style. I think everybody knows the big box brand that you could get the 48 pack and you go through them like candy. And it really is a bunch of sugar that you shouldn't be ingesting, and you want to feel guilt-free. So I feel guilt-free when I get a bunch of Built Bars, especially the granola ones, which come in chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut, and white chocolate berry. Man, that white chocolate berry, it is magnifique. It is fantastic. And not only are they delicious, they're healthy too, with 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, and 4 grams of sugar per Built granola bar. Make sure you go out and check them out today. They have all the original flavors. They have the puffs. They have the granola bar. So get a mishmash of all of them. Go to Built.com today. Use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, to get 15% off your order. And I'm telling you, go try out their new granola bar, puff bars, and the Built Bar originals. They have all of these flavors that are just waiting for you to consume, waiting for you to feel guilt-free, and waiting for you to pack a protein punch. Go to Built.com today and get Built Bar. You know we're always having them here at the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome on back to this Thursday edition of the show. As always, I am Gino Camilleri, host of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Lou DiBiase, our co-host, he's going to Chicago, living it up in the Windy City. So I will be covering the show today and tomorrow, the final two shows of the week. After you make the Locked On Eagles podcast your first listen of each and every day, make sure you go check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, game recaps, and the take of the day, available on Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts, and wherever you could find the Locked On Eagles podcast. We are there as well. And speaking of podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, our friends over at the Locked On NFL show, Matt Williamson, Brian Peacock, had a pretty interesting segment that they talked about yesterday, and especially for the Philadelphia Eagles, a team coming off of that seventh wild card berth. They get in on a new ruling going into 2021. They get really blown out by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoffs. Well, that didn't hinder our friend Brian Peacock from saying that he believes the Philadelphia Eagles are a top five team in the NFC. I have to agree. I look at the list. You look at the top teams, the Green Bays, the Tampa Bays, the Los Angeles Rams. Number four is the Cowboys. Number five is the Eagles, and right below them is New Orleans and San Francisco. I look around at all of those teams, looking at the structure of who has the easiest schedule as well, you can make the argument that the Philadelphia Eagles will finish with a top five record in 2022 in the NFC. Howie Roseman preaches that their goal isn't to just make the playoffs. Their goal is to get to the playoffs and host a home playoff game. Now, would being a top five team guarantee you a spot to host a playoff game at home? It would not. You'd have to be either getting that one to get the bye, get two or three, and maybe that fourth spot even. So number five wouldn't put you there. But would number four get you there? Absolutely. Do I think the Eagles could be the fourth best team in the NFC? There's a chance, because number four, according to Brian Peacock, is the Dallas Cowboys. Taking a look at the Eagles' schedule, I looked at both the AFC and NFC rankings from those guys over at the Locked On NFL show, and I took a look at the teams that the Eagles play in the top five, teams that they play between 6 through 11, and then teams that they play in the bottom five. When it comes to strength of schedule, we know this Eagles schedule is pretty easy. Well, a lot has to do with two of the teams that they're playing this season being the only top five teams in either the AFC or NFC, according to Brian Peacock, that the Eagles will play. They only have three games, one against the Green Bay Packers, rather, and two against the Dallas Cowboys. Do I believe that they could beat either of those teams? Absolutely. I did an inside look, a deeper dive into the schedule when it first came out a couple weeks ago, and I said that surprise victory could come against the Green Bay Packers. If you remember, Green Bay was the first team that Jalen Hurts really got the reins to this Eagles ship. After they benched Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts comes in there, and that's the first game he really was able to cut his teeth in the NFL. And then after that, he started playing the likes of Arizona, where he continued to improve. He goes out and beats New Orleans. And then last year, this team ends up making the playoffs with a tougher schedule, with a much, much tougher schedule. So to look at the reverse of this and the reverse of the top five teams that they'll play, how about the bottom five? Well, they play four teams in the bottom five and will have five games against bottom five teams. I think the rankings were pretty on par, taking a look at the bottom five teams that our friends at Lockdown NFL had: Jacksonville, Houston, Chicago, and the Giants. Played the Giants twice. Jalen Hurts has had success against the Giants, two games. The only game that he lost was that goose egg that they put up where they didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. They lose 13-7. The other teams in there, Jacksonville, it's going to be towards the bottom of the barrel. Houston's going to be towards the bottom of the barrel. And Chicago will probably be towards the bottom of the NFC. Now, looking at the middle ground, they play nine games against those teams in the middle. So if you could guarantee that you win five games against the teams at the bottom, potentially you could pull one or two games against the teams from the top five, that's seven wins right there. Now, can you get five other wins out of those nine games that you're playing against Minnesota, against Pittsburgh, against Indianapolis, against Tennessee, against New Orleans, against Detroit, against Washington, against Arizona? You've played a few of those teams. Jalen Hurts has had success against those teams. And do those teams say Super Bowl contender? Green Bay, potentially. Dallas, potentially. The rest of that list, maybe Arizona. I don't believe Minnesota is a threat. I don't believe Pittsburgh's a threat. I think Tennessee is a true regression candidate. New Orleans, we'll see how it goes without Drew Brees being there in year two with Jameis Winston going in there. Detroit, you walked all over them last year. Washington, it's going to be a toss-up. I think you could pull away 12 wins in an optimistic light, in a sense where you beat those four teams, five games in the bottom five. You could split those games 6-11 and potentially pull one or two games out of those three against the top five opponents. I think this was an interesting way to look at it, to break it down by how you would tier these teams. And it ultimately comes down to your belief in the Philadelphia Eagles taking that next step to where they could potentially host a home playoff game. I want them to. Howie Roseman wants them to. I'm sure Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts and everybody else in that locker room would love to play a playoff game at home in front of their home fans rather than traveling down to Tampa Bay yet again, or going to LA, or having to potentially play in Lambeau late in the year when it's going to be bad conditions. This team needs to go out there and play up to par against this schedule, against a schedule that's in their favor. It's the easiest one that they've had in multiple years. It's only going to continue to get harder as they get better. If they were to win the division, they play a first-ranked schedule next year. Take advantage of this second-ranked schedule against the AFC South, against teams like Chicago and Detroit who were on the rebuild. You have to go out there and assert your dominance against these teams. The good thing is you've already faced a couple of these teams with the current quarterback that you have at the helm. And that's what we're going to talk about when we finish up this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Just how has Jalen Hurts had success, or has he seen defeat against the teams that will go up against the Eagles in 2022? All that and more to finish up this edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome on back to finish up this Thursday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. I'm your host, Gino Camilleri. As always, make sure you guys follow us along on Twitter each and every day at GC24_football. Follow Lou at DiBiase, L-O-E, and follow the mothership at Lockdown Birds. Also, make sure you check us out on YouTube as well. And download the podcast anywhere where you get your podcasts. You know where to by now. But thank you for tuning in to this edition, and thank you for making it this far in the show, talking about how Jalen Hurts has stacked up against some of these teams that are on the Eagles 2022 schedule. I took a look at it, and I started counting after the Green Bay game. After the first game where Jalen Hurts came in there, played a little more than a quarter and a half in place of Carson Wentz. Once Carson Wentz officially was benched, it became Jalen Hurts' team after that. Once they saw some promise, they moved on from Carson Wentz. Now it's Jalen Hurts' team. And what do they do last year? Well, they end up getting a playoff game. Well, taking a look at 2022, that should be the floor. The ceiling should be hosting a playoff game. Well, have you played any of these teams in the past to maybe take a look at how you could do? Good news is, yeah, they've played a couple of these teams under Jalen Hurts. Outside of the division, they've played New Orleans twice under Jalen, Detroit once, Arizona once. In total, Jalen Hurts has played 11 games against the opponents on this schedule. He's won 6 of those games and lost 5 of those games. Against New Orleans, he's 2-0, 100% win percentage. Against Detroit, he's 1-0, 100% win percentage. Washington, he's 2-1 as well. He's 30% there. New York, he's 1-1. I misspoke on the earlier segment. I apologize. I was looking at how many games they played against the Giants. He's taken 1 win, 1 loss, the one being that 13-7 loss, which was just a pure travesty. So he's at 50% win percentage against the Giants, 0-2 against Dallas, and 0-1 against Arizona. Now is the time to right the ship. Now is the time to play an Arizona team that's level with you in terms of where you should be, where the next step is for that organization. The Dallas Cowboys are your biggest threat in this division. You have to step up and go and win at least one of those games. The Eagles haven't had much success when they go 0-2 against Dallas of getting to that next level, because Dallas has constantly been in the back pocket of the Eagles, being that consistent threat to them year over year. Peaks of the Giants, peaks of Washington are there, but it really comes down to beating the Cowboys. That's the game I look at. Can you beat Dallas twice? Because if you can do that, one, you've probably outperformed Dak Prescott. Jalen Hurts has probably put out a couple hundred yards in the air, maybe 50 to 60 yards on the ground, threw for 2 to 3 touchdowns in each of those games. That's something we haven't seen him do against Dallas yet. They've gotten off to a slow start against Dallas multiple times under Jalen Hurts and last year under Nick Sirianni. It doesn't all just come down to Jalen, but it's good to see how he has competed against those teams in the past. The one I look at that I'm saying, yeah, that's a real test, New Orleans. You're 2-0 against them. They want all the retribution in the world for losing at the hands to them under Jalen Hurts multiple times since he has come into the league. Jameis Winston will be a test, I guess. He's not one of the top quarterbacks I'm looking at. The rest of the roster, though, with how good their defense is, how they've improved on their offense, Michael Thomas will be back. Chris Olave is there now. That's another good test to see if you could keep winning against a team that you've had success against in the past. Those rest of those teams in the middle, Washington, New York, Detroit, all should be victories again. You might split with Washington. You might split with the Giants. But this team is set up with a better roster than most of the teams that they're playing. I'll just go down the list right now against the teams that they haven't played in the past under Jalen and taking a look at saying, do I think they can beat them? Do I think the Eagles can beat this team? Minnesota, yes. Jacksonville, yes. Pittsburgh, yes. Houston, yes. Indianapolis, yes. Green Bay, we're kind of counting that, kind of not. Do I think he could beat that team? It'll be a toss-up. It'll be a great test for him. Tennessee, I think they can beat. Chicago, I think they can beat. All of these games are winnable. They're not going to win every game, of course. It's a team game. Sometimes things don't go your way. Sometimes defense won't be there to show up. Sometimes your offense won't get going. Nick Sirianni might be calling a bad game. The wide receivers might have a couple drops. But is there a team on the schedule that strikes the fear of the hammer of Thor into me? No, not at all. This team could be a top five team in the NFC. It'll come at the hands of a quarterback who's going to have to take a big step year over year. It'll come at the hands of a defensive coordinator who now has all the players for his personnel in his system. Can they improve? Can Nick Sirianni continue to improve in his play calling? Can all of these teams realize that with the schedule they have, that they could go out there and potentially host a playoff game? That's where you need to get to. You need to get to the point where you are year over year, you are annually, perennially going out there and hosting a playoff game. Look at the early 2000s with the Eagles. Why did they make it to four straight NFC championship games? They were able to host playoff games. Why did they do that in 2017 and make it to the Super Bowl? They were able to host all of the playoff games outside of the Super Bowl, which they won, of course. Where they haven't had success is going on the road. Outside of the Chicago double doink, if you look at the past, going on the road in the playoffs for the Eagles has been a tough slate. I think back to that year where they lose three against Dallas. They have to go to Jerry World again and get the doors blown off them. Looking back last year at Tampa Bay, another game. You just don't like getting blown out in a playoff game on the road. At least give yourself a chance. Play in front of your home fans. Play in an environment where everything will be in your favor. The advantage of playing on your home turf, sleeping in your bed. It all comes down to beating teams that you should beat on your schedule. Beating teams that are better than you, that you might potentially steal a game or two from, that could have a massive effect in terms of the standings. And then winning those games that you've split against teams in the past that might be in the middle of the pack. Don't play down to the level of your opponent. Play up to the chance to host a playoff game. That's where this team needs to get to. That's where they should aspire to get to under Sirianni and company. And that's where Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie, the guys steering the ship of this organization, want to get to. And that's all we're going to get to today here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. But I thank you for making the Locked On Eagles podcast your first listen each and every day. Now make your second listen the NFL Locked On podcast. Of course, we talked about them all show long. Our friends Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson take you into the biggest stories around the league, because an offseason doesn't equal a break in the action. Follow the Locked On NFL every day on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to download all the Locked On Eagles podcasts at every single podcast platform that you could get to. More numbers makes it better for us, getting our name out there, getting more fans, getting more likes, getting more viewers, and able to give you a better show each and every week. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're trying to get to 1,000. Make sure you search Locked On Eagles in the search box. It'll come up with our logo. You'll see our pretty faces on there. Make sure you click subscribe. And of course, we don't have pretty faces. That's why we have Voice for Radio. And that's why we do the Locked On Eagles podcast here 5 days a week. Make sure you tune in every single day. Make sure you tune into all the podcasts on the Locked On podcast platform. We'll see you tomorrow on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. I'm Gino Camilleri signing off. As always, fly Eagles fly.